This podcast replay is brought to you by Top Gun Indoor Range, where the ladies can find self-defense classes and basic pistol concealed weapons courses available in both English and Spanish classes. Easy to get to just off the turnpike. Go to TopGunIndoorRange.com.
All righty, all righty, all righty. Hope all is well. I'm just answering some stuff here at the same time. I'm balancing everything. Bitcoin dipping, really good opportunity. Checking out some information, you know, and working on all kinds of stuff. Okay. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. We got something for you. Anyway, welcome aboard. It is a Friday. You made it. It's the weekend. It's all good in the hood, as they say. Sean Stanley, the man, the myth, the legend. Don't forget to smash the hell out of the like button. And, of course, visit our amazing sponsors, like always. Acura Pembroke Pines, Caneswear. Don't forget, folks. Caneswear, anything Canes, Dolphins, Marlins, Panthers, Inter, what am I missing? Heat. Man, remember, use our code BIGO10. Get 10% off online at caneswear.com. Visit them, all that good stuff. So make sure you support the show however you can. Of course, so you can send in super chats. You can make a donation, Cash App, or Venmo. Appreciate however it is you support the show. Hit that like button. Watch. All of those things obviously are positives for us, and we appreciate all of you already. Thank you. Hell, 56 right now on the live, and half already have hit the like button. That's actually pretty good, to be quite honest. When you look around, it's a small percentage to hit the like button. So thank you all out there already being aggressive and hitting that that like button. We'll have David Ferronis on at 10:30. I'm trying to finalize a couple of other interviews here. And then we've got some stuff for you Dolphins-wise, obviously. Yesterday was ugly for the Panthers, 3 in a row. I mean, I got to tell you that I'm watching that first period, and they got so handled in that first period. It was an ominous sign, you know? It was one of those things like – and they were – and the Predators were – peppering them. They were dominating, and they were the more aggressive team, and the Panthers were just flat. And about 16, 17 minutes in, and then there's that timeout, and then the Predators come out and score and kind of finish off what they were doing that entire period. And it just, from that moment on, I did not feel good about the Panther game for the rest of the night. It was just one of those things. So they are in a funk. You know, hopefully it's a small funk, you know, one or two games, you're not, you know, and this is three now. So it's not a big deal because they've been so good, but you are now 3 points behind Boston. You're 2 points behind the Rangers because you've got 94 points. So you're in third place now in the conference, and you do play the Rangers tomorrow on the road. So maybe it picks up. Maybe you get a little bit of a spark now, but they certainly need some kind of a little internal wake-up call or something, because this is definitely some kind of a speed bump, because you could tell they're not themselves right now. The passing's just not the same. I'm just not seeing the same fire at the moment, and it's a long-ass season. You go through some lulls. And that's kind of that's where I'm going with the Panthers on this one, that this is just one of those lulls. You've been so phenomenal all year long. I can't, you know, go in panic mode, but you know, you've lost three in a row and you didn't look good. And I don't know how many of you watched the game last night, but you had to have felt kind of the same way I did. Most of you, at least after that first period, you're like, damn, this doesn't look like it's our night again. You know, and sure enough, it just wasn't our night, man. It was a rough one to have to watch. I gotta say, it was a rough one. It was one that kind of painful, because it dragged on for two more periods and just unacceptable. By the way, We got a sweet dip right now. Bitcoin hit like 62.8, and now it's back up to 63.4. But really cool that that this is a beautiful, beautiful dip to take advantage of. And it has kind of stayed down here for those, especially for the newbies. I mean, even for me, man, I'm picking away here and adding a little bit more to that experiment that I want to show you guys. And so I just got a little bit more just to throw it in there because I'm going to show you guys how it works. I'll give you the number that we invested in all throughout and all different numbers and then together. And then when it climbs, you'll see the profits from just that little bit, not a lot of money, but just a little bit, a couple hundred dollars, and see the difference that it makes. So people, when they look at it and they go, oh, was it too late to get in on the 60s? And it's not. Not a financial advisor, of course, but I just want to kind of show people, you know, that that things are going well. Two a time. Thank you, bro. You don't waste any time. You're already sending a super chat this morning. What you going to do, brother, when Zion and the 24-inch pythons run wild on you? Prayers up. Yeah, the Brandon Ingram thing sucked. That was bullshit last night, bro. You just don't want to see that shit. That sucks. Thank you, two a time. I appreciate you. Good luck to your Pelicans tonight. And the Brandon Ingram thing, just that's garbage, bro. That just, you know, it looks bad, man. Looks bad. Looks like the coach talked about he's definitely going for the MRI and they're praying for the best. And he had to be helped off the court last night. I saw that and I was like, you just don't want to see that with any player. No player, especially stars. Because, like, no league, it needs to lose stars. You know what I'm saying? and the Pelicans, you know, that fan base deserves, you know, some success. And they haven't had a lot of success. And now they're having a hell of a team. They're, like, I think the fourth seed, if I'm correct. Let me look it up. I think they're the fourth seed in the West. I think they just climbed into the fourth seed. Let me see. Because of last night. So they dropped down right behind the Clippers. They had jumped the Clippers, but I guess because of last night, they ended up dropping back to five. That's what it was. So they're half game behind the Clippers now for the fourth spot. But anyway, so it's just, you know, it kind of sucks. And yeah, obviously I bust your balls about Fat Boy. And, you know, Fat Boy has kind of stayed on the court this year. So we'll see if he can, you know, continue. The Heat, I think they get Bam back. Hopefully Jimmy tries tonight, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes tonight. I don't know what I'm going to get from the Heat. You know what I mean? The way they're playing right now. Ugh. But Miami gets a break because no Brandon Ingram. And by the way, the Pelicans are not getting a break because we have no Tyler Hero. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that for any team. Okay? Tyler Hero's constantly out. He doesn't count. So if they get Jimmy and they have Bam back, let's see if they can get it done. We'll see. Let's go through a little roll call. Kyle Cockrell, number one, I see there. Popeye is in. Aaron Hernandez, Joseph. Yeah, it was ugly last night. Steve Chapman, Ray Sosa, Steven Gonzalez. Looks like everyone might get their wish. No OBJ. Jamie Zorrilla says he hopes everybody's having a great week. Remember to smash that like button. And he's out in San Jose. One-Eyed Jack. Two a time. Alex Palenzuela. John Padilla. Weston Round. Why did we let OBJ leave the building? I will fill you in. Omar in. Lisa Rose. Dolphin, good morning from Philadelphia. Plus, it's my birthday. All right, Dolphin, 5413. Happy birthday to you, my brother. Happy birthday. Professor Lou, Gus 1388, Isaiah, Ray Sosa, SoCal, get better, my brother. He says, watching from the hospital bed. All right, man. Feel good. I followed your progress there on social media. So we're wishing a quick recovery, my brother. I know how it goes. Been at it for 6 weeks myself. Week seven. Now I'm walking. I'm going up and down stairs now. You know what I was doing? By the way, I have a two-story house. For several weeks, do you know how I went up the stairs? With my ass. Like lifting myself up step by step. You know how terrible that is? It's not like I have money, like I'm rich or something. I could have, hey, come and install that little chair. That would be cool. But, you know, it's because, you know, I see SoCal right now. He's dealing, you know, he's in a hospital bed. And so I just want you to know, man, that, you know, there's always a low point in surgery or setbacks or anything. And I know you're doing it for your health, too. And so, you know, it's recovery time is never fun, man, whether you're in a bed or anything like that. And it's, you know, just to think about this, nearly 7 weeks ago, I was 30 pounds heavier. I was on one leg. My wife had to push me around. I could barely move, right? Because if not, I had to hop around. From hopping around on one leg, I fucked up my left ankle because it got sore as hell because, again, I'm so out of shape that the pounding on one ankle from hopping around messed up the ankle. I messed up my right knee from carrying around the brace because I'm so out of shape. I got a hip pain and a thigh pain from carrying around the brace on my right leg because I'm so out of shape. I have to then go up the stairs, you know, with my back to the stairs and lifting myself up step by step. So when I get to the top, then I can try to stand up, which again, trying to stand up on only one leg, out of shape, using walls and everything as leverage, and my poor wife trying to help me too. Brother, it is like you don't see the light of day at that moment. And this happens to anybody that has surgery, that has some kind of a setback, and those kind of 7 weeks later, 30 pounds lighter. I started a diet on a bed. Okay. I finally now can walk gingerly, but I'm walking. Well, I even went to a Cheesecake Factory yesterday in Dadeland. And so, what's it called? So now, you know, I'm starting to see the light of day. So we all have setbacks in life and we all reach a low point of that setback, you know? And so just want you to know, man, you just got to, what did I tell you yesterday, right? SoCal, positive, bro. You got to stay positive, and you got to find, okay, I'm in this position. How the fuck do I attack it? You know what I mean? And what do I do to get better? And okay, what did the doc tell me? Elevate the foot, make sure, let's get the swelling out, stay off of it. Don't do something stupid. We don't need a second surgery. You know, I said, okay, let's, and I tried to make something productive out of being really have no mobility whatsoever. So now I'm walking and my joints are probably saying, yo, man, thank you. We're carrying around 30 less pounds. And so, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We just got to fight through it all, man. You know what I mean? Because life has a way of kicking us all in the ass. None of us are free of that. You know what I mean? It has a way of just blindsiding every single one of us, you know, because we're all going to have to deal with setbacks, or we're going to take on challenges like what you're doing, SoCal. You're taking on a challenge. You know what I'm saying? And in that challenge, there's, you know, hurdles that you have to overcome. And the main thing is to stay positive throughout the whole thing. No matter the frustrations, no matter the somewhat embarrassment you feel that you have to get up a flight of steps in your own house, you have to do it by getting down on the floor and going step by step. You know, it's just one of those things, you know? So there you go. The going down was never bad because I could hop down on one foot. It was always, you know, cool. But I dreaded going downstairs because then I would have to go. I knew the way I would have to go upstairs was terrible. Now I'm able to go up the stairs one step by one step. It was actually one step and then bring the bad foot up, you know, and then bring the bad foot up. Now the bad foot already can carry and all that. So, and by the way, another blessing for me today. Ooh, another blessing. Bitcoin down to 62,864. I'm trying to see if it goes down to the low 62, 61. And get in again a little bit. Yeah. I'm just going to keep getting in a little bit as it gets lower and lower. I'm going to take advantages. I'm not giving up. And by the way, yesterday I got my first therapy and they put me through all kinds of stuff. Plus I did walking. I walked from the car to Hialeah Park and back and all that. So that was good. And then I went to dinner with the wife. We went to Dadeland. I wanted to, by the way, Cheesecake Factory. I love you to death, Cheesecake Factory. You eliminated my favorite dish, which is my favorite wish. But without no money, it's still a dish. Well, it's something like that. I forgot. But anyways, you eliminated my factory burrito, man. That's my favorite dish at Cheesecake Factory. Man, I had some loaded nachos yesterday, and they were delicious, by the way. Great. I mean, there's the meatloaf I like. There's a whole bunch of good dishes at Cheesecake Factory. They got a great menu. But, dude, the factory burrito is my favorite dish of theirs, and that guy broke my heart yesterday. I'm, like, looking at it. The reason why I went to the Cheesecake Factory yesterday in Dadeland, the reason why was for the factory burrito. I had been, like, the last couple of days, I've been telling my wife, you know, I haven't had a factory burrito in a long time. I don't know how long it's been, year, two, three or something. I don't know. And I go to her, hey, I want to go to Cheesecake Factory. And when I got out of Hialeah yesterday, I go, I want a factory burrito. And I pulled in, walked in, made the effort of walking in. I stayed away from the Apple store right across because if I go to the Apple store, I get in trouble every single time. So broke my heart. Broke my heart, Cheesecake Factory. You broke my heart. That hurt. But the nachos were terrific. So it's all good. What I had to hold back was from eating more bread. I ate a little bit. Because I cannot stay away from the brown bread. That brown wheat bread or whatever the hell it is, it tastes so good. So good. So good. But anyway, no soreness on my foot after walking and therapy. In fact, the therapist said, be prepared. You may have, you know, some soreness for the next couple of days and all that. Foot's fine, man. Which is really good. It's gone really well, really, really well. But I've been a good boy. I did everything the doctor told me because he scared the shit out of me when he said, don't be dumb. And I am. And he said, don't screw up because if we need a second surgery, cause you did something, you got, you know, crazy, then that's a real setback. And that was in my mind the entire time. Like, don't push this. Don't try. Don't do it. And I was patient. So Cal, you can fight through it, bro. And you'll get through it. You'll get through it all. And you'll succeed, bro. You'll succeed. Dude, if I can lose 30 pounds in a bed, all of you can do it. Okay. All of you can do it. No drugs, no nothing. No, I know the Ozempic thing and all that. None of that shit, dude. It's pure fasting, pure fasting. I've done it before. I lost 50 pounds fasting because if you fast and you fast right and you really keep it locked in to a certain amount of hours, your body will burn all kinds of other fat off your body always because it has 20 hours to work and there's no way you're going to eat in the 4 hours what it needs to burn. It'll burn that food quickly and then it burns everything else. So wish you the best, SoCal. I know you'll make it, bro. I know when I go to California one day, you and I will go have a beer and we'll have some good laughs. Radio host is in, Alex Palenzuela. He's not worried about the cats. Cosa Nostra, Tua Tam. Chad is in the house. Ray, howdy. Oh, everyone, how about the Acolyte trailer? Oh, the yes, that thing was awesome. Yes, that was good. That was good. The beginnings of the dark side, since Yoda was 800 years old and on the sequels, he would be a young Yoda in this series if it's it. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, man, everything that they've done to extend the Star Wars series, I love it. So I'm all about it. Billy Shaw is in. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate you for supporting us, sir. NorCal is in. Puff, puff, give. Weapon X United in the house. Thank you, sir, for the super chat. Says, what's good, Big O? Never fear, I'm always here. Damn, I wish I could hit the youth fair. Stuck here in Atlanta. By the way, we will pick winners 5 and 6 today. Okay? So we are giving you a chance. So when I go to Atlanta next time, Weapon X, you know, which could be this year, because I might be going up there for a concert. I think it might be for the ELO concert. I might go up there. So let's hook up, man. The party's over, Bubba. It's a small slide, man. Let's not get too crazy. Chris Zeno, Gonzo, Emilio Hernandez, Ken Rosa, Ocala Joe. Let's see. 4 years ago, I got 3 hernias trying to move a rock. What an idiot, but it took 3 years to get my brain right after. Yeah. I mean, you know, NorCal, we all have those moments, right? Right? We all do stupid things. It's like, but let's not be oversensitive about it. Let's understand we did something stupid and that's it. And that's, we're better off when we understand it, you know? It's all good. 80 dances, Big O. I'm going on my third knee surgery next month, Pollen, Connecticut. I'm so nervous. Wow, man. Wish you the best, my brother. You are a tough son of a bitch, by the way. Okay. Big O, I had surgery 3 weeks ago. I broke my heel and ankle on the job. I feel your pain. Yeah, man. Exactly, right? But what are we going to do, bro? What are we going to do? We're going to attack this shit, dude. If we sit around and we're grumpy and pissed off about it, then we give in to this shit. We got to find a way to overcome it, you know? And for me, it was like, okay, all right, moron. You see how out of shape you are? You bounced around a bit and your left ankle's already done, you know? And your right knee is sore in your hip because you're carrying around this, you know, 25-pound brace. So now you're, you know, it's like carrying around a weight and you're so out of shape. So what are you going to do? And so I'm like, okay, I got to do something about this. And so, you know, it was like a nice wake. That stupid saying that you and I say all the time. Well, it happened for a reason, right? And it happened for a reason. Terrible that I had an Achilles and a bone spur stabbing one of my tendons. That shit hurt, by the way. And so, but that's what led to telling me, hey, moron, you're out of shape. You're screwing it up. Okay. Here's an injury. So you can see where you're really at. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I got to do something about this. And so I'm not going to get healthy and then just be the same dude. You know, let me start getting this weight off of me, you know, and I've done it several times, so I know how to do it. It's just a lack of discipline, which I am so terrible in, man. I'm so terrible in that. You know what I mean? And so now I'm in a groove. So we'll see, you know, hopefully I can maintain it because that's what I need to do is maintain it. But that's kind of the wake up call. And when we get it, we got to do something about it. Big O, you're a hot mess. I am. That is true. So, NorCal says 4 years ago. Oh, yeah, I read that one. Let's see. Lewis Jones. Barry Jackson reports that Coach McDaniel and others rushed back to the facility to have a meeting with Beckham before the flight to Michigan. Two a time. I'm surprised Cheesecake Factory gets rid of anything. Their menu is huge. I know. Captain Saki out in Tarpon Springs. The brown bread at Cheesecake Factory is amazing. Yes. Bro, Publix sells the Cheesecake Factory bread. No. Cap for life. I'm trying to lose weight, bro. Cap for Life wants to remind me, hey, listen, there's a way to get fat again. Cap for Life, hey, go to Publix. Get your face all puffy again. Fernando says, I work in healthcare. 80% of how well you recover is how well you follow your rehab. If you get lazy, no matter how good the surgeon is, the percentage of recovery goes way down. Yeah. And let me tell you something, Fernando. This is my first major injury like this. I've been very fortunate throughout my life. I've sprained ankles and stuff, but I've never broken anything. I've never had bone spurs and Achilles surgery. I've never had any of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I've never needed rehab. But one of the things you just mentioned, my brother, and it is notorious with people, is that they do get lazy with rehab and they feel they don't go to rehab enough or it's monotonous or whatever it is. And then they don't recover the right way. Right. And so after yesterday's first session, I was like, you have to come to this shit, because obviously she was working all kinds of crap that, you know, you had a boot on for weeks, dude. And so atrophy sets in. Now one of my calves is smaller than the other. Then, and also like the calf muscles were like coming together because there's two of them and she had to separate them. So she's in the process of that. My plantar fasciitis was getting stuck to the Achilles. So she's massaging it and separating it and all that. So that helps in your flexibility and everything. So all those stupid things that if you don't go to therapy and just, screw it, they fixed it. All right, I'll just walk it off and all that. I can see exactly what you're saying, Fernando, being 100% accurate. You know what I mean? So, yeah. No, and I will not miss therapy. I will not miss therapy, bro. I'm too old, bro. I can't screw this up because then my foot won't be the same. You know what I mean? So I got to make sure that it rehabs the right way. You know, and that's why I also want to lose the weight so I can take it easy on all the joints, bro, including that foot. Now the foot is healing up. It's carrying less weight than it would have. So that's actually pretty, you know, pretty good and pretty smart on my part that I actually did. Actually, I did something smart, which is really not normal for me. Hunter Butler is in. Big O, your next visit to Cali, me, you, and SoCal are busting out some burpees. Let's go. Let's do it. Then we puff and pass. Alf is in the house. I nearly tore my ITB band, ligament that runs from the hip to the knee. Oh, shit. And it felt like I was dying. Oh, God. It sounds like you were dying. Oh. Yeah, getting old does suck, bro. Does suck. Atlanta Dolphin Club is part of a huge charity tailgate event the weekend of the draft. I'll share details with anyone that messages me or reaches out to Scott Howe, ADC president. Yeah, we've had Scott on the show. Let's see. No stop at Self-Pity City. Time to take back your body, bro. Oh, I'm doing that, bro. So you can bet your ass I'm doing that. I will get in really, really good shape now. I am going to I'm going the complete opposite of what I was. Okay? Complete opposite. All I'm going to do from here on out is just build the health side of my life. I have to do it. I have no choice. So enough of this, all this extra weight and carrying it around and all that. I mean, it's already getting easier to sleep because I have less weight. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be kind of cool one day to sit in, the next time I have to travel and I sit in a plane seat and I have room inside the seat. Big O, what time is your 4-hour DJ set? It's Miami Music Week. What time is your slot? Well, mine is at 3 a.m. Okay, because, you know, I'm hardcore. So make sure you bring out the neon lights and everything else. And I'll be spinning it for a couple of hours. Let's see. What else? Jay Gelfin, Orlando getting old beats the hell out of the alternative. It's just a question of how we get old. Yes, you're right about that. You are right about that. When you come to Cali, I'll be at the Big O West Coast party as well, says radio host. There we go. I love it. I love it. Oh, let's see. Ooh, my bad. Here we go. All right. Not there yet. All right. I know Feronis is about to join us. So Dolphins and OBJ met yesterday. Everything went well. There's no imminent signing right now. Okay. So the signing is not imminent. It's not going to happen right away. It's not one of those things. There is discussions still going on between the Miami Dolphins and OBJ. So no deal was reached yet, but there are still communications going on. Okay. This is not going to be an easy deal. Why? Because Chris Greer doesn't give away money. You know, that's just kind of the style of this front office. Brandon Shore is not going to write out a contract that's just going to guarantee you, you know, they're not going to do what Baltimore did. Not doing anything like that. So it's going to be a much lower salary, probably, is my guess. And there's going to be a bunch of incentives. But the talks are still there. It's just the signing is not going to happen right now. Okay. So if it happens, it'll be a little bit more down the line, but it is still active, is the way I would, you know, I would phrase it, is what's going on between the Dolphins and OBJ. So it's not dead. So for those of you that don't want them, there's still a chance to disappoint you. For those of you that don't mind taking the chance, yours truly. You know why I don't mind taking a chance? Because I'm going to go by what Shore and Greer and Allen and McKenzie and what they normally do. They don't give away money, you know. And he's, like I told you, he's not here to be number one or number two. He's not here to be a savior. He's here to be more of a complimentary piece. So I'm one of the ones that's willing to take this chance. Okay. You know, and if you think about it, the last couple of years, he's been well-behaved. He's not doing anything stupid anymore, you know. And you're not asking him to carry your team. You're not asking him to be, which is what they used to do. When you used to sign Odell Beckham, you used to sign him to be one of your anchors. It's not what is happening here. So that's why I'm willing to take the chance. I think the trepidations for some of you out there, it's either one, you don't like him, and that's fine. He's earned that whole thing that a lot of people shouldn't like him. But the other one is, you know, you're afraid of what Baltimore made. That's why. Not going to be the case here. It's not going to be the case. All right, let's get ready. David Feronis and our Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report.
All rise, football fans, as the Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report with David Feronis is in session.
Welt and Realm has more than 62 years of litigation experience handling insurance disputes. They are committed to resolving even the toughest insurance claims quickly. Call them for a free consultation. 954-966-4646. Here's Miami Dolphins insider, David Feronis.
By the way, before I go to David, Alf, and Alf, this is why you and I get along, and that's why I love you, brother, because you see the same thing I did. He goes, on OBJ, the film was really good, and it was shocking when I went over it how many times Lamar just flat out missed them. And that's what I've been saying. That when people went to look at his stats, I go, dude, I watch pretty much all the Raven games. Okay? I watch them all. Even though I don't believe in Lamar as a passer, but I root for Lamar, as twisted as it seems. It's just, I don't bullshit, dude. He's just not a good passer. Never will be a good passer. He's just a phenomenal athlete and a freak. But when I watch the games, okay, I watched him miss OBJ a bunch of times, actually. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get to it. How you doing, David? Good morning, sir. Is he hearing me? David?
What? I just picked up that. Is he hearing me? It was in and out for a lot of that.
Okay. All right. So how you feeling, man? You feeling good?
Feeling good. Okay. Another week in the books pretty much. And a lot going on still. Always.
Okay. Well, I just reported before you came on, no imminent signing happening with OBJ. Talks are still going on at the moment, but nothing's happening at this second, but it's still alive at this point in time. So what have you heard so far?
Yeah, that's the sense I get. I mean, obviously both sides are interested. OBJ got there very early yesterday morning, and obviously it seems like for all intents and purposes, the visit went well. But there's obviously financials that the two sides have to agree on, and the Dolphins aren't going to throw a huge bag at Odell Beckham Jr. at this stage in his career. And although he is coming off a pretty good season of his highest yards per catch that he's ever had, but still, this is OBJ, two ACL injuries into his career, a couple of devastating ankle injuries, and he hasn't been a Pro Bowler since 2016, so hasn't been a 1,000-yard receiver since 2019. So this isn't the star coming out of LSU, Odell Beckham Jr. He's still got that superstar name attached to him, but I think he'd be a nice number three to slide in behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, which is all you need on the Dolphins. But for that reason, Miami isn't going to be throwing huge amounts of money at Odell Beckham Jr. Just try to see if you can get him on a lower, more reasonable deal. And I think that's probably where the two sides are a little bit. Maybe they need to find some common middle ground first.
Yeah. Shore and Greer aren't going to give him a lot of money. It's going to be more incentive based than anything else. What he got with the Ravens was a Christmas gift of all time. He's not getting that stupid contract here in Miami. I'm pretty sure. I'm 1,000% sure.
Well, yeah, he's not getting that. When I saw, I didn't know how much he was getting paid for last season. I saw what was it, 1 year, $15 million. I said, wait, that's how much he was getting for.
That's stupid. That was plain stupidity, because they had the mindset of he was going to be one of their main weapons, which. That's not the mindset here. You're a complementary piece. You're not going to carry. So what I'm going to ask you is, and I'm going to ask you in this sense, because obviously all of us would agree, if it's a big contract, nobody really wants to sign OBJ. So let's assume that Shore and Greer and McKenzie and Allen are giving him a $5-6 million type of dollar deal with a bunch of incentives that if, team success, personal success, he can make a little bit more money, and that's cool. If it's like that, if it's a lower salary based on incentives more than anything else, do you like the fit or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think the ideal fit would be to have a bigger-bodied receiver to complement Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, but one might argue if they want a talent like his as a number three. And, I mean, it's going to be very difficult for opposing defenses to cover all those guys. And then you are getting some of the red zone, big body type of pass catcher in Jonnu Smith at the tight end position. So you address that a little bit. I would still want another one at the wide receiver position as well. But one might argue if Mike McDaniel feels like it's a good fit to work into what he's trying to do offensively. So I think they'll be able to get him open. He's definitely going to get open when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle also there. And it's going to take some of the pressure off of those guys as well.
Can I
Can I try to explain what I think their thinking is? Because I explained it yesterday. I don't know if you caught it on the show, but last year you only had two quick twitch players, Waddle and Tyreek. That's it. Your offensive line, because it ended up so injury riddled, you didn't have time to go through maybe even to the second, even to the third progression. You had time for your first for sure. Maybe there were times to go to the second. You weren't really going to ever have time to go to the third. Rare to go to the second, right? So now you bring Jonnu Smith in, quick twitch player at tight end, right? Clearly one of the three fastest tight ends in the NFL. They're going to have trouble, linebacker, safety, staying with that guy. Plus, he'll be able to body them, which is another plus for Jonnu Smith over players like that. And then you add Odell Beckham. That's another quick twitch player. So that's your fourth receiver out there out there. So all of a sudden, if your offensive line isn't really holding up the way it needs and you have to make quick decisions, now you have a multitude of players to make those quick decisions with, guys that can get in open spaces quickly. And Odell will be facing the third or fourth best cover person on that team. So that's better for him because he's not facing the one or two. And with Odell, what happened with Waddle his first year? They played him inside a lot. You don't play Odell inside. So if you bring Odell, you put Tyreek and Odell outside. You bring Waddle and Jonnu inside. And then that now you have the quick twitch guys. And obviously, Waddle's way tougher than Odell. So now you give Tua all kinds of options. So I think that's what they're thinking. Well, you and I think big, physical. Hey, get a bigger target. Well, the bigger target's going to be slower, and he's not going to get open as quickly. And if I have issues with my offensive line, he doesn't help me nearly as much. The other guys didn't help me nearly as much. Let me get more speed out on the field because I've got Mostert and Achan coming out of the backfield. Now let me add Odell, and I can mix things up with my receivers because I can now put Waddle inside. Maybe that's their thinking. Just a thought.
Yeah, and we know Mike McDaniel loves his speed, and it would be really interesting having Jalen Waddle more in the slot. Again, that would be something to keep an eye on. And we see it with Mike McDaniel with the look on his face when he's seeing Xavier Worthy at Texas Pro Day, that picture that was floating around, and just the look in his eyes meeting the fastest 40-yard dash runner in Combine history. So, you know, he loves his speed, so... I guess sort of some of that size also was experimented with in the middle of last season, Chase Claypool, and then they couldn't really get him into the packages that they had for him and all that. So, you know, maybe
Gesicki, I mean, he couldn't even figure out how to just run him down for fades, which is terrible. The fact that Flo got Gesicki 70 balls and this guy can't do it, I have a problem with that. But okay, if he's stubborn and he's set in his ways and he just wants speed out on the field, well, then the Odell thing kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but such different weaponry, too, when Gesicki was it, because it was Devontae Parker and Gesicki, and then after that, it wasn't much else on those receiving corps. Yeah, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, then, yeah, Gesicki isn't going to get very many of those targets.
Yeah, but I think you need that element in an offense. Apparently, yeah. He doesn't.
Right,
he's not big on that. He's just not big enough. Well, he likes fades, but he likes them with midgets. So, which is the weirdest thing. No, let's throw a fade with Tyreek instead. Like, come on, dude. But whatever. Yeah. That's a whole other discussion. But the OBJ thing, I've never been an OBJ guy. Like, you won't find segments ever. There's hundreds and thousands of segments on this channel. You'll never find one where I praise OBJ. So 3 days ago when I came out and said, hey, you know, OBJ would be a good option, and then the fire started. You know, it's just because once I was told about it and explained, it makes sense. And again, as long as fiscally you do it this way. Are you talking? I don't hear anything. Is he hearing us? David? Is it a Verizon commercial? think we're having.
I'm getting you back now.
Okay. Okay. You got a bet. Where are you at?
But I'm getting you back now. What's the last thing?
Where are you?
Same place as always. But yeah. I'm at Hard Rock Stadium. You see.
You're at Hard Rock.
No, at home. But
you're at home. Okay. Okay. So
I feel my laptop is working harder than it usually is. So I don't know. It's not having a good day. But what's the last thing you?
Saying that it just makes a lot of sense as long as fiscally you do it this way. If you do it, you know, with the right amount of money, then I have no problem with this gamble whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the key. And that's the thing that the Dolphins are not going to do. Chris Greer, Brandon Shore, they're not going to go ahead and throw away, especially when you have already manipulated the 25 compensatory draft picks where you're already locking in three. They're not going to spend big money to eliminate one of those that would be coming the Dolphins' way. But then aside from that, just the cap situation, they're going to manage it smartly, as we've seen with a lot of the free agency deals that they've pulled off. Jordan Poyer for under $2 million. Jordan Brooks was a nice deal to get where they got him.
The Fuller deal is really smart deal, bro.
Kendall Fuller, yeah, that was a masterclass right there to pull that off.
Brandon Shore is a badass, dude. Him and Andy Ellisberg.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, those dudes are, man, those dudes are good, bro. Those dudes are good. They do stuff for their teams that is just magnificent every single time. Short.
That's a huge X factor. That's a huge X factor to have in your front office. And we were just making that same comparison, Perk and I, on our program just yesterday. Same exact thing. Yeah, that Andy Ellsberg factor. It seems the Dolphins have that right now in Brandon Shore.
What the Dolphin fans don't realize, this is the best front office in the history of the Miami Dolphins. And I'm not talking about the 70s and all that, because they didn't have cap and all that. So obviously they only had to worry about their obvious. No, nothing will ever beat those front offices because they won the Super Bowls. They had the teams, but they didn't have to deal with the money and the free agency and all that.
You drafted well. You kept your players. It was a dynasty.
From free agency on, this is the greatest front office the Miami Dolphins have ever had. And that's what people don't realize. There's an article for you right there, buddy. There's an article, because there's no front office that we've had that can create deals like they have drafted as well as they have, are doing things the right way. And they just got to have a little luck, and hopefully the coach grows. But really, if you think about it, in the era of the salary cap, this is the best management team we've ever had.
Okay? Yeah, and avoided the not-so-smart deals, like what you would have had to pay a Christian Wilkins or Rob Hunt, what he got. If you were trying to compete with what the Carolina Panthers were willing to offer, then no chance. So just being smart in that respect as well, even though it hurts to lose those guys, and especially Van Ginkel, but just you can't operate throwing that kind of money out because you fall in love with a player that you've had for 4 or 5 years, and then it's going to hurt everything else you could do around them.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, what do you got going on the Sun Sentinel so folks can check you out?
Yeah, wrapping up another week here. I actually have a feature that I was holding on to on Corey Gaynor, former Miami Hurricanes, and then also Stoneman Douglas from Broward. He finished his career at UNC. He was training locally at Bomarito, so he's got his pro day coming up. So I caught up with him when I swung by Bomarito. So I'll put that out. And then next week, just get into owner's meeting. So we'll be hearing from Mike McDaniel. Maybe we hear from Chris Greer, but definitely Mike McDaniel and all the other head coaches from across the NFL. So you get all these different storylines, just talking to different coaches from across the NFL. So that'll be good. And also some OBJ watch, some Odell Beckham watch, see what else transpires here in the coming days.
You got it. All right, follow him on Twitter at @DavidFaronis_, and catch his work there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. David, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Welton Rayom, you got to call my guy, Jeff Welt, monster Dolphin fan, monster Hurricanes fan. Man, he bleeds Canes. And, of course, Daniel Rayom, he is a stud, also a stunt pilot, by the way. Not only a great lawyer, but also a stunt pilot. 954-966-4646, personal injury,
criminal defense, condo damage, homeowner property damage, bankruptcy, business owner claims, commercial litigation. Call them 954-966-4646. They're in Hollywood. Doesn't matter where you're at in Florida, man. You could call. The consultation is completely free. So if you don't know if you have a case, maybe you think you have a case, you want to explain it, he'll tell you if you have a case or not and get ready to defend you and win, baby. 954-966-4646 for Welt and Rayom.
This has been another session of the Welt and Rayom Miami Dolphins Report with David Feronis. At Welt and Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. They handle complex personal injury claims caused by the fault of another in both state and federal courts. They handle auto, trucking, motorcycle, slip and fall, and bicycle accidents. Call 954-966-4646. Welt and Rayom can help.
Ride a ride. Thank you all out there, as always. Ron says, OBJ's a cancer in the locker room. First of all, it's not they haven't signed him, so you can't like, you cannot dislike the signing at all because they haven't signed anything. So there's nothing to dislike. So let's get the order right first, Ron. He hasn't been a cancer the last couple of years. He hasn't done anything the last couple of years. He's just caught a few footballs for the Rams. Right. He played well for them, helped out in the Super Bowl, and then he did his job with the Ravens. And if you, again, watch the games, that's the problem. A lot of you don't watch the games. He was fine with the Ravens. He did a good job. His stats would have been better if Lamar Jackson is actually accurate. Okay. That's why I think that's the other reason why I think he wants to play with a guy like Tua, by the way. But really, OBJ was a problem when he was the man. And that's where, you know, when you gave him all the money and he had to be the number one or number two guy, you had those expectations on him. And then that's where he was. But if you look at him where he's been complimentary with the Rams, complimentary with the Ravens the last couple of years, he really hasn't had any issues. None whatsoever. You know, I'm not an OBJ guy at all. Okay. But when I was explaining the situation, I'm an open-minded person. And you know, I'm willing to take in information and say, you know, when you put it that way, and I've put it to you guys the way I think it's trying to play out. And if it's the way it's trying to play out, it's not a bad gamble. You're not going to get somebody with that kind of speed. And this is what the coach wants to do. It's not what you and I want to do. Okay. I'm with Feronis. I would like a bigger receiver as my third guy instead of just another fast guy. But this is what this dude likes. And so, and then I countered with the whole quick twitch stuff because maybe that's what he's also thinking. You know, this gives Tua now three fast receivers and a fast tight end. So, and we have two fast running backs. So now it's going to be really hard to stay with everybody on the field. This will create a lot of space. So I understand the method behind the madness. I really understand the method behind the madness. And I'm not an OBJ guy at all. But I get it. I get it. This is what they want to do. This fits what they want to do. You know? So it's one of those deals. But anyway, you guys are on top of it more than anybody else. On the OBJ situation from the get-go, if you follow the show, but whatever. It's all up to you. All up to you. We can only work for the info for you guys. That's all we can do. What else do we have? He turned up from weeks 9 to 14. Is Tyler, yeah, but Tyler Boyd will want more money. That's the problem with Tyler Boyd. I love Tyler Boyd, Oscar. I'm with you, but he's going to want more money. That's going to cost you, and they can't pay that kind of money. OBJ was having a great game in the Super Bowl, and then he got hurt, unfortunately. Yeah, he played well in the Super Bowl. Kim Kardashian showing up to Hard Rock Stadium is different than Kim K and Arrowhead, Miami's seasoned veteran when it comes to world celebs. Yeah, that's, you know. whatever, bro. There's always celebs down here at an F1 race, at an Inter Miami game, at a Miami Heat game, at a Miami Dolphins game. I think they're starting to show up in the Panthers too now, right? I know we see them to hit the drums, but you know, come on, man. This is South Florida. We got stars here all the time. So having Kim Kardashian here, having what's the name that's what's Berrios's girl's name? Alex or something, Earl or Earl, right? Something like that. Alexis Earl, Alex Earl. And then we've got who's the other babe? And now we have Jordan Poyer, Rachel Bush, which woo! You know, Alex Earl, she's a cutie, definitely. Obviously, Kim Kardashian, but I gotta tell you, I might be leaning more to the Rachel Bush side on that one. So we got some hotties, you know what I'm saying? And there's got to be another one that we don't know about on the Dolphins with some other player. Oh, yes. What's it called? Riley, the linebacker. Duke Riley is going out with another, social media babe or whatever. Let's see where it's at here. That's the fourth one that we were missing. Let's see. Here we go. Duke Riley dating Keke Palmer. Okay. All right. So Duke Riley and Keke Palmer are there you go. So we've got four babes part of the Dolphins. How about that? See, I don't know why I have this useless information in here. Why would I know all this stupid stuff, right? It's just like, why am I carrying this information? Is it really important? Of course it is. Anyway. Keke Palmer, Bush, Kardashian, and Mrs. Berrios, or Alex Earl. All I want spotlight. Well, those ladies already have their own spotlight. You know what I'm saying? So, but Duke Riley doing well. They're all doing well. Well, I know Kim Kardashian is a good-looking woman. I get that. But, you know, that odometer has gone around so many times that, when you've had more traffic than a car wash, it's, not nearly as attractive. I just got to say that. That's all. You know, when it's probably a hot dog down a hallway, you know. Just, what can I tell you? Not something that I look forward to. Let's do our 3A graphics sports calendar. Why don't we? Last night, unfortunately, the Predators handled the Panthers 3-0. 3A graphics, of course, Alan Blanco in Hialeah, 980 West 22nd Street. Call him, 786-618-1443. Custom printing and embroidery, Saturday. They will take on the Rangers on the road at 8 o'clock tonight. The Heat and Fly Pelican Fly at 8 o'clock. No Brandon Ingram, by the way. He suffered a knee injury yesterday. I guess the youngin' Trey Murphy will get more of the spotlight for the Pelicans. Fly Pelican. No Tyler Hero, but then again, who cares? 8 o'clock tip tonight. Saturday at 2 o'clock. It is Inter Miami visiting the New York Red Bull. And on at 12:15 in an hour and 16 minutes from now, number 8 FAU in the tournament will take on number 9 Northwestern. Let's hope for the best. That is your 3A graphics sports calendar. Right. Oh, let's do this. We're at the top of the hour. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Get ready for hour number 2. Sean Stanley, the man, the myth, the legend, is driving it right here on the Big O Radio Show.